Kindly step all the way in, please, and make room for everyone. There's no turning back now.
The narrator, Disneyland's Haunted Mansion ride. When old Uncle Walt first sketched out his plan for the happiest place on Earth, he didn't have a haunted mansion in mind at all. In fact, New Orleans Square didn't come into being for a whole 10 years after the park first opened. But it was still old enough to require Frank's attention plenty. He usually got a call from Pete or Patrick at least once a week to head over to Pirates, or to the mansion because one of the animatronics has gone Westworld on them. Sadly, Pete's idea of animatronics going Westworld, "God damn it, the headless ghosts are doing the werewolf howl again!" And Frank's, oh god, we're all gonna die!" splash, splat, are polar opposites. The Haunted Mansion ride, which, Disney secret alert, wasn't even inside the park, would pose a number of problems for your average maintenance dude. Once inside the mansion, an industrial lift motor took guests down about 3 floors to little ghostly carriages, which then trundled off about a mile outside the park, where the main part of the ride was, the haunted ballroom and the jive-hopping graveyard. It was tough keeping that lot in line. Luckily, there was nothing average about Frank Iero. The system was pretty good. Frank knew, because he made it good. He was going to make it that much better, though. Unfortunately, there was only one way to do that, and it was Frank's least favorite job. Wriggling into the crawl space between the motor and the wall, and prizing the back plate off the lift motor to get at the moving parts. Small spaces, underground, full of filth, were just a combination guaranteed to give Frank emotional hives. There could be fucking spiders in there. By the time he got over to the mansion, it was pretty late and the guests had already been chivvied out. The crickets were chirping and Frank could smell that Queen of the Night just opening up again. He wondered where Gerard was. He looked across the garden for a peek of Gerard, but there was no one but Asshat Alex having a smoke. Frank was so telling Bob, first chance he got, on the veranda. Frank scowled, unlocked the service hatch under the front porch, and crawled in. The webs were pretty thick when he found the nest. Big, fat, brown spider monsters. Later, he overheard Asshat Alex braying to anyone who'd listen that Frank sounded exactly like Drew Barrymore in Scream when he was hysterical. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part wasn't even that his manic anti-spider flail got his arm wedged so firmly in the lift mechanism he had to radio Bob to send someone to get him out. No, the worst part was that Bob sent Gerard.
"I am gonna kill that blonde son of a bitch when I..."
"Hi, Gerard." Frank watched as Gerard wriggled and wiggled and shimmied his way down the service corridor, which was pretty narrow in places, towards him. A couple of feet out, he held a flashlight under his chin and grinned. "Man, this is more like it," he crowed, tearing through a huge curtain of thick, clingy spider's web. "Haunted mansion, basement extension." Frank yanked at his arm. He had to get out of there. He had to. Gerard wriggled closer. "Hey, hey, stop. Stop, you'll hurt yourself."
"No, I fucking won't," Frank growled. "I just need to."
He yanked hard and felt something, his elbow, zing with pain.
"Ow."
"See? Just here. Let me." Gerard pressed up close and reached his arm in alongside Frank's. Frank could feel Gerard's fingers sliding along his skin, searching for where Frank was snagged. A minute passed with Frank staring at Gerard's throat, his ear, the tiny patch of hair he'd missed with the scarlet dye. Gerard slowly pulled his hand out. "Okay, the good news is you're not bleeding." He held up his hand to show Frank. "The bad news is I can't figure out where you're stuck, so..." He shrugged.
"So what? I have to fucking live here now?"
Frank railed. "No, jeez." Gerard grinned. "So we wait for Patrick. That was the plan. Bob said, go keep him from hyperventilating to death, and that he'd send Patrick in as soon as he finds him." Gerard gave Frank an apologetic smile and leaned against the mechanism in front of him. "I should probably mention that Patrick's in L.A.
"What the fucking fuck?"
Frank was going to fucking kill...
everybody. Everyone. God!
He took a deep breath.
Okay. Okay. It wasn't so bad. Patrick was an hour away. Right. Okay. Possibly he was at the studios in Glendale. So an hour and a half.
Frankie, you all right?
Gerard asked. Fine.
Really? 'Cause you look a little panicked.
Frank took a deep breath. I'm okay.
Gerard was chewing his thumbnail and did not look convinced.
Trust me, said Frank. Gerard stared at him for a long moment.
At least,
he started and stopped. Frank raised his eyebrows. At least I'm not stuck somewhere really fucking high up. Gerard smiled and took a deep breath.
I was gonna say that at least you're not alone, but whatever gets you through, right?
Gerard looked at his nail and started biting it again. Yeah, said Frank, letting out a rush of breath. After a few moments of uneasy silence, Gerard said,
So, this is really where the magic happens, huh?
He cast the flashlight up and down the service corridor and back into the lift mechanism. What? Frank growled, and tried a surreptitious yank on his arm again.
I mean, this is the reality, behind the dream. It's...
Gerard flicked his fingers, trying to shake a scrap of cobweb off. It clung fast. He cringed at Frank.
I mean, all the stucco? The buildings? Just facades to hide all this machinery.
Come here. Frank beckoned him closer with his free hand and plucked the web away and wiped it on his ruined safari shorts.
Thanks, Gerard said. He didn't step back.
Frank said, What did you come down here in your costume for? Gesturing to Gerard's shirt, which was smeared grim and a little greasy from the mechanism. It'll get ruined.
Oh, you know, Gerard replied, shrugging. I thought you'd be...
He shrugged again.
I wouldn't want to be down here on my own.
I'm down here all the time, said Frank.
Oh.
Well, I mean, not all the time. Just like...
So you really would know then,
said Gerard, frowning, looking back into the dark corridor. Frank yanked his arm again while Gerard wasn't looking. Know what?
That there aren't any tunnels or, you know, hidden places in the park.
Gerard lifted the flashlight under his chin. Frank blinked. You know what? He said, twisting towards Gerard as much as his arm would let him. When you said about the tunnel, you know.
On my first day, you remember me saying that?
Gerard asked. Perhaps because it was so dark in there, his eyes looked fucking huge. Yeah, and I'd never heard that one before. About the mineshaft or whatever, Frank hurried on. I mean, everyone knows that one about the Imagineer's graveyard, right? But not the mineshaft. I mean, is there, like... What's the story?
Oh.
Gerard perked up. He turned towards Frank and settled against the mechanism, lifting the flashlight under his chin again, like he was about to tell a ghost story at camp.
Well, legend has it that when the first Imagineers were laying out the park, they had a lot of crazy ideas about an underground system of links between all the lands. The first one they started on was the tunnel, a fake disused mine tunnel from Tom Sawyer's cabin to Royal Street, so kids could experience what it was like for the Spanish smugglers who founded New Orleans, you know?
Frank, bemused, shook his head. Nope, he had no clue, but he gestured for Gerard to continue anyway.
Well, apparently while they were building it, there was a tremor, you know?
Frank nodded.
And so the tunnel collapsed, crushing the head Imagineer to death. Right there, under the lagoon.
Frank blinked. To death? How had he never heard about this? Go on, he said.
So, anyway, this guy's best friend was there with him. His assistant, you know, they always work in pairs. And he said he wouldn't leave until they dug the Imagineer out. He said he'd just, like, rot down there or something. So, you know, his friend... said Gerard, making air quotes, and Frank let out a small laugh.
Gerard continued.
He stayed down there for a couple of days, until the crushed guy's sister came down and begged him to leave. So he did. Then the guy's family, the crushed guys, they said he'd loved the park so much, they thought he should stay there. So they finished the tunnel, buried him in it, and blocked it off. The lagoon would be his memorial for all time.
No way, breathed Frank.
Way, nodded Gerard. And old Uncle Walt, not wanting to ruin the park opening, and not wanting to delay the work, agreed. So that's why the pirate ship goes slow past Tom Sawyer's Island, out of respect for the dead guy buried under the lagoon, sleeping his eternal sleep in the happiest place on Earth. And they say... Some people say that if you look at the prow of the pirate ship as it goes past the cabin, You can see a spectral figure, leaning out, looking into the waters below, searching for his friend. Frank realized as Gerard finished his tale that he'd leaned right into Gerard's space. They were a matter of inches apart. Gerard blinked. Frank could practically count every one of his ridiculously long eyelashes. Frank really liked Gerard's eyes. "So, yeah, that's just one of the stories I heard," Gerard said, pushing away. "Like, you would know, right? If that was true?"
Frank shook his head. "If there's some sort of gay ghost on the pirate ship? Yeah, I saw him the other night. We conversed." Frank looked up, pretending to talk to an imaginary ghost. "Dude, have you heard the news that you're dead?"
Gerard's mouth twisted a little, like he didn't know if Frank was mocking him or not. Frank suddenly felt really shitty and rubbed his free hand over his head. "So I guess that's just another one of those Disney urban legends, huh?" Gerard started chewing his nail again. He shrugged. "It's still a cool story."
Frank felt like shit for putting that look on Gerard's face. "Yeah, it's creepy too," he said. "I guess it's kind of like the park, though, right?"
Gerard looked up, tilting his head to the side.
"Yeah, like..." Frank shrugged and swallowed. "Like, it doesn't matter if it's real or not. It is what it is, you know? People, like other people, enjoy it."
Frank looked away and started tugging on his arm again.
God, it doesn't matter if it's real or not. He sounded like a total idiot.
Yeah, that's... Gerard rested his hand on Frank's arm, and Frank stopped tugging immediately. Gerard smiled. "This place is magical because we want it to be," Gerard said, and started rubbing Frank's arm where it was wedged against the metal. "You get that. That's... yeah." He slipped his arm inside the machine again and continued rubbing Frank's arm.
What are you..."
Gerard looked down at Frank, pressed up close to him, so close. When he spoke, Frank could feel Gerard's breath on his forehead. "Your arm must be sore by now. Don't want it to cut off circulation, you know?"
No, I mean..."
Frank swallowed and then winced as Gerard pressed harder. Moments passed, with just the dry rasp of Gerard's hand moving on Frank. Frank pressed his eyes closed, biting his tongue every time Gerard touched a particularly tender spot. Cupping Frank's sore elbow, Gerard said, "Tell me how you got to Disneyland. Like, how did you get the job?" Gerard reached further in and stroked his fingers over Frank's aching wrist. It felt much better already.
"How I started?" asked Frank, looking up. "I don't know, I just applied, I guess," said Frank, staring at Gerard's shoulder. "And then went through the 3-week interview round? The psych evaluations, the profiling, the FBI interview?" Gerard said, incredulous. "Yeah, you know, just the usual."
Frank shrugged and felt his face heating up. "Uh-huh," Gerard said, and raised an eyebrow. "It's not exactly Walmart, Frank. You have to want it to get through that process." Frank shrugged and closed his eyes again.
"Okay, so when I was a kid, I always fucking wanted to come to Disneyland. Like, I was into it."
"Yeah?" said Gerard. His fingers closed on Frank's, and he started massaging feeling back into them.
"So my dad set it up for my 7th birthday. Just seemed like it'd be cool. Like, maybe Mom and Dad would enjoy it too, you know? Like, it'd be a distraction from the fighting. They fought a lot." "Anyway," Frank coughed and Gerard squeezed his fingers. "I remember thinking, they sure don't call it the happiest place on earth for nothing, right? And I figured if there was one family in Jersey that needed some happy, it was mine."
Frank took a deep breath.
"Anyway, I didn't spend every day thinking about it or anything, but..."
"You knew what rides you were going to go on first," said Gerard. "Where they were, how long you might have to wait, which rides to get to early, and which ones were better left until later?"
Frank looked up and frowned.
Gerard laughed. "I was a poor kid on the wrong side of the country, too," he said.
"Yeah, well, kids talked. And Jerry Greenstreet next door had a cousin who knew a kid that once went on a vacation to California, and he knew what was what. The kid had a collection of pins," Frank added.
"So which ride did you go on first?" Gerard asked.
"Let me guess. It was Small World, right?" Frank chuffed out a laugh. No. I didn't get to come here till I got the job."
The way Gerard's eyes got big again, and the way his lip looked,
pulled into his mouth, made Frank regret telling him immediately. But he couldn't stop now. My folks split that summer, before my birthday, and yeah. Frank gave Gerard a one-shouldered shrug. It was no biggie that he never got to go when he was a kid, Frank thought. His folks split, and he totally forgot about Mickey and Donald and all that crap. He spent his 7th birthday sleeping on the fold-out bed at Uncle Sal's place, while his folks sold their house on Cherry Tree. Sal had cable, and since it was Frank's birthday, they put the Disney Channel on. It was Halloween at Disneyland. A giant articulated pumpkin-headed man-thing paraded up Main Street, USA, surrounded by dancing hobgoblins and skeletons showering guests with candy. Looked kinda stupid anyway, he'd thought. Oh, Frankie, that sucks. I'm sorry, man, Gerard said, and squeezed his hand again. But you're here now, right? That's all that matters. Frank looked up at Gerard. Is it? He didn't know where the thought came from, but as he stood there, looking up into Gerard's concerned, gentle face, thinking about his folks, and how he felt about the park when he was just a kid, two words popped into his head unbidden. Two tiny little words he'd never thought before. Not about anyone. Not ever. Kiss me, Frank thought. Kiss me. Okay, you guys, what have we got here? The sound of Patrick's gruff, purposeful voice bouncing around the tiny space so suddenly almost gave Frank a fucking heart attack. Gerard practically leapt out of his skin and wrenched his arm free of the tiny cavity next to Frank's, flashlight arcing around the confined space. Patrick! Gerard bellowed. Hey! Wow! Am I glad to see you! Are we glad to see you? Yeah! Frank winced. Oh, fucking K. Okay, I get it, he thought. Crisis averted. Patrick stood, hands on his hips, looking the two of them up and down. Right, he said with a smirk. He started peering and prodding round the housing trapping Frank's arm. Okay, Frank, I'll have you out of here in a jiffy, said Patrick. You can shoot, G. We'll be out in a minute or two.
Oh, okay, said Gerard, and glanced at Frank.
Frank couldn't look at him. He focused on Patrick, who'd started unbolting the housing and dismantling the motor. His cheeks still burned a little from the embarrassment of Gerard seeing how much he'd wanted to come here as a child, and how much that had made him want to... Gerard turned and started squeezing his way back up the service corridor without saying goodbye. Frank thought that was for the best. It took half an hour to completely free Frank, and then another half hour to put the whole machine back together again once Frank's hand started working. Between the two of them, Frank and Patrick managed to fix a little problem in the crank gears while they were at it. It was good to focus on the work, Frank found. Easy, too, since Patrick, in a stellar display of his most admirable qualities, didn't say a fucking thing to Frank about Gerard. So Frank absolutely was not expecting to see Gerard, sitting on the veranda of the Haunted Mansion, when they finally crawled to freedom. Gerard jumped up when he saw Frank and came rushing over. Before Frank could do or say anything, he was smothered in Gerard, wrapped in an all-encompassing hug. Oh, wow, you're okay!
Mmph. Patrick chuckled. Okay, so, I'll see you guys tomorrow, 9 a.m. sharp. Have a magical... whatever, said Patrick,
and Frank couldn't see him, but he could hear the smirk in his voice.
I'm glad you're okay, Gerard said in his ear, ignoring Patrick.
Frank managed to push free of Gerard's arms, but Patrick was already trundling away in his rocketeer cart. Fuck. What would he have said, anyway?
It's not what it looks like.
Frank straightened his shirt and stepped back from Gerard.
Of course I'm okay. Geez, it was just, you know, a thing.
Frank gestured back at the mansion. The glittering windows and gaping front door made it look like a laughing face.
Oh, well, that's good, said Gerard, stepping back himself. That's good that you're not, you know, that nothing in there affected you at all.
No, said Frank, scrubbing at a splodge of grease on his safari shorts. No.
He shook the hand that had been crushed.
I'm good.
Gerard nodded.
Well, good night then, I guess.
Frank said goodnight and took off up the path to the back parking lot. He didn't stop to see which way Gerard went. Later that night, forearm pressed to the shower wall, knees shaking as he came hard into his hand,
Frank remembered the way Gerard had been pressed against him in the dark, hot space beneath the mansion. "This place is magical, Frank, because we want it to be." Frank felt the words, the cold wet of the shower stall, and sick to his stomach. "Tomorrow will be better for as long as America keeps alive the ideals of freedom and a better life." Walt Disney.
"Frank, you need to get alive, man."
They were sitting in a diner by Boysen Park. Frank was pretending to eat fries. Bob was pretending to give a shit.
"You can't be pining over some guy you can't even bring yourself to talk to sensibly."
"Can too," muttered Frank, and smushed a fry into paste against the bottom of the basket.
Bob leaned across the table and moved the basket out of Frank's reach.
"Can not,"
he said, and gave Frank the patented Robert Breyer "don't fuck me off" look. Frank sighed. He hadn't told anyone about the weird thing under the mansion, but he knew his Gerard-related behavior had reached all new levels of dorkiness.
"But I need to,"
Frank whined, trying to grab the basket back. A tug of war ensued until Bob rapped Frank over the knuckles with an eggy fork.
"You need," Bob Mock whined back, "to strap on a pair and ask the guy out, or, you know, say hi, at least. You act like a spaz whenever he's around." "I do not act like a spaz. How do I act like a spaz? I don't even know what a spaz is," said Frank, getting his indignant on.
"Well," said Bob, undaunted,
"there was the time you were supposed to be fixing the water line for the steam train, remember?"
Frank winced. "Oh, yeah."
Frank remembered, all right.
"My definition of spazzy would be that, when you hose that Elks tour group down with 2-week-old stagnant water because Gerard waved at you from across the square,"
said Bob, wiping his hands on a napkin. Frank winced harder.
"One, I slipped,"
he said, interrupting what was sure to be a cavalcade of Frank's finest moments in the park to date.
"2, it was like 2-day-old water, 3 tops. And 3, how the fuck do you even know about that? You were nowhere near Main Street when that happened."
Bob blinked.
"Spazzy would also include," he continued, "you hanging around to help Gerard with the Elks for 3 hours and playing peekaboo with one of their kids the whole time. Cute, sure, but dude, spazzy."
Frank made a dismissive noise and a rude gesture.
"The tink's rubbing off on you, man," said Bob, with a smile.
"That's not a bad thing."
"Fuck the fuck off,"
Frank said. But he remembered playing peekaboo with that kid and tried not to smile. Bob shrugged.
"I'll get the bill. You figure out what happened to your balls." "Fuck off," said Frank,
genuinely that time, because he'd remembered what the topic was before they got onto the Elks and their cute kids. Gerard.
"Fuck off, fuck off, fuck off,"
was fast becoming the Frank Iero mantra. Thing was, Frank knew the exact moment thinking Gerard was cute in an annoyingly good-looking kind of way turned into something else. Because Frank liked listening to Gerard wax lyrical about the potential a really great roller coaster ride has to make your day complete. He liked the way Gerard can make a disaster, like the Elks, into something pretty amazing.
Boo! Surprise! Have a magical day!
And he liked the way Gerard, mid-rant about the saving grace of Goofy, would turn to Frank and say, "You understand me, don't you, Frankie?" Except when that happened, all Frank could actually understand was the huge, limpid pools of Gerard's eyes fixed on him, the insane pounding of his heart in his chest, the lightning flash of, "He called me Frankie!" racing through his head.
Kablam!
It felt like that, like he was stuck in an animation cell explosion. But then DeWeese, his so-called buddy, would jump in.
"Are you fucking kidding me, G? If Mickey fucking Mouse was real, this motherfucker," he'd say, pointing to Frank, "would be laying rat bait and traps from one end of the park to the other."
Or Patrick would say, "You know Frank once seriously campaigned to have people between the ages of 7 and 18 banned from the park, right?" Or Brendan would tell the story of the time Frank did something crummy to someone who didn't deserve it and make him look
like an asshole.
And then the canteen table full of people would erupt with laughter at Frank Iero, the anti-tank. Everyone laughing at the way Frank was. Everyone except Gerard, who would frown and bite his lip and look at Frankie like he didn't get it. He didn't get the joke. Bob and Frank walked back to the park, with Frank dragging his feet the whole way. Later that day, Frank saw Gerard making a Minnie Mouse candy apple for a worried-looking little girl waiting at the Lost Grown-Ups kiosk on Royal Street. When he was done, Gerard handed it to her with a flourish and a weird half-curtsy thing, which made the girl giggle uncontrollably. Then Gerard had caught Frank staring at him as the little girl toddled off with her eventually found mom. He'd waved and grinned that stupid grin, the one that shows all his teeth. And Frank had realized that, while he usually didn't know if he wanted to kiss him or punch Gerard in the face when he caught Frank off guard like that, in that moment he was 100% sure. Frank waved right back. But Bob was still wrong. There was no way Gerard would date Frank. Gerard wasn't Prince Charming. And Frank, sure as shit, wasn't Cinderella. One thing it takes to accomplish something is courage. Walt Disney. For the first time in years, Frank really didn't feel like going to poker night. But the thought of going home to his flat and pining over Gerard was too obnoxious to bear, so at 10 p.m., he packed up his workshop and made his way across the park to the jetty, clambered aboard the pirate ship, and made for the hold. The first person he saw when he jumped down from the third to last rung was Gerard, clutching a hand of cards, looking up from the table with huge, startled eyes.
Hi, said Frank, sketching a wave.
He pulled a chair out from the table and sat down, next to Gerard.
Hey, G.
Hi, Frankie, Gerard said, and shuffled a bit closer to him, smiling. Gerard's wasn't the only new face at the table. There was some skinny guy across from him Frank had never seen before. Looked like he was pretty cozy with Alicia. Frank turned to Gerard.
So, I didn't know you... you know. Oh, I invited Gerard and Mikey, our two employees of the month,
Pete chimed. Frank nodded and couldn't stop himself from grinning at Gerard. Gerard grinned back. Gerard said, Oh, Frank, I wanted you to...
Okay, okay, hollered Alicia, cutting him off and hauling the cards back in. Enough chit-chat! Who's in?
Frank chucked a roll of quarters on the table.
Me, he said.
Maybe they were showing off for the new guys? Maybe they just wanted to win and win bad, but somehow the playing got nasty. Frank kept going all in and was losing desperately. The bottle caps were flying, the insults were hurtling. Gerard was a terrible player and kept bouncing in his seat every time he got a good hand, and not understanding why people kept folding every time he did. Then suddenly, out of the blue, Frank had his hands on a trio of dames. He bet hard, and the flop turned up yet another lady. Frank bit back a giggle and reached into his pocket for something to bet. He came up empty. He was sure he'd had a bottle opener or mini screwdriver in there to throw on the pile. The guys loved those mini screwdrivers. They were so cute.
I've got something you could put in, said Bob, helpfully.
He'd folded a couple of bets ago, and he'd been Frank's cheer section ever since. Frank looked up, and Bob was holding Frank's lucky Zippo, confiscated again that day after Frank was nabbed smoking under the Jedi Academy shade awning in Tomorrowland.
No fucking way, that's my lucky Zippo. No, give.
He held out his hands to Bob, who tossed it to him.
Okay, well, you think your hand is so good?
Asked Deweese. Frank squinted at Deweese.
Wouldn't you like to know? I would. So why don't we up the stakes?
Said Deweese, leaning over the table.
Oh, great, said Alicia. Just how I wanted my evening to go. A pissing contest between Tweedledum and Tweedledinky.
We could go for a walk if you... said the skinny guy, who played like a rube all night.
Yes, please,
Alicia chimed and leaped out of her seat, the skinny guy's hand in hers. Let's go. The two of them disappeared up the rope ladder and let the hatch clang shut behind them.
Deweese said, Why don't we bet my Saturday night?
A chorus of what's and no ways went up around the table, and Pete said,
This is supposed to be a fun night, guys, come on.
What's up with Deweese's Saturday night? Asked Gerard.
Frank, still staring Deweese down, said, Party night.
From the corner of his eye, he could see Gerard frown and look around. He shook his head.
There's a high school party on at the park on Saturday night, said Bob. They're usually pretty messy, as you can imagine. Everyone has to work them eventually. Everyone tries to get out of it.
That sounds so cool, though, chimed Gerard. Cool that the kids want to come here still. Teenagers can be so... He waved his hand around. You know, They scare the living shiz out of me sometimes, but mostly I frickin' love 'em.
He laughed. Frank saw everyone staring at Gerard like he was insane. Piped Patrick. The kids don't come for the park, really. They come for the DJs and the... they come for each other. You know, to meet up and stuff.
Patrick looked around the table.
Right?
Deweese laughed.
Yeah, they come to meet up, he leered.
Gerard blinked. Oh, he said. Well, I guess it's still cool they come here, though, right? Better than a club, or... someplace less...
He looked around, as though he expected the clapboard and fiberglass insides of the ship to tell him. Pete coughed. Frank pressed his eyes closed. The other guys didn't get it. They didn't get Gerard. He wasn't a prude, or old-fashioned. He was...
Okay, I'll take your motherfucking bet, Deweese, snarled Frank. I'm gonna enjoy thinking of you cleaning teen spew off Royal Street on Saturday night.
Frank deliberately did not look at Gerard. He didn't want to see him figure out what Frank meant.
Deweese nodded, and Frank laid down his hand.
Four queens.
Frank grinned and leaned forward to claim his pile of peanuts, Bic lighters, and bus tokens.
Whoa there, Nelly,
said Deweese, placing a hand on top of the pile.
You don't want to know what I got?
Frank shrugged and sat back. Deweese put down a 10 of diamonds, a 6, and an 8. Frank frowned.
Yeah, have fun on Saturday, Jimmy, he laughed and leaned forward again.
Oh, I will, Deweese said, putting a 7 and a 9 of diamonds on top of them. The table erupted.
Oh, shit, hollered Pete. Alice gonna be so pissed she missed this.
Frank could not believe he walked right into that one. He sank forward and put his face down on the table. Son of a bitch.
Well, look at it this way. You still got your lucky Zippo back, right?
Frank looked up from the deck to see Gerard's head poking through the hatch. After losing so spectacularly, Frank felt in desperate need of a smoke. He'd waited for the next hand to get going before sneaking out to spark up.
Yeah, I guess, he said, and dug his packet out to offer one to Gerard.
Gerard took a cig and cupped his hands around Frank's as Frank lit it for him. Gerard's hands felt warm and dry against Frank's. Their eyes met above the flame.
You really don't want to work this Saturday? Gerard asked after taking a drag.
Frank sighed.
The kids don't respect.
They'll wreck the joint.
Gerard frowned and nodded. That sucks, but it's cool that you care.
I don't care,
snapped Frank. But he backpedaled pretty fast when he saw Gerard's frown deepen.
It's that I'll have to fix it.
Gerard smiled, glancing at Frank from the corner of his eye.
I see you, you know. You think I don't. That people don't notice all the work you do. But I see you. You really care about this place, Gerard said, and tugged Frank's sleeve.
Frank shook his head.
Yes, you do, Gerard said, tugging again and moving to stand in front of Frank. You care enough to crawl into dingy holes and scrub out pond scummy submarines.
Frank rolled his eyes. He couldn't help it.
Well, it's not like they don't pay me, Gerard.
You called me G in there. I liked it, said Gerard. You should, you know, keep doing it.
Frank felt his face flush. Gerard continued. And I know that. But still, you change a lot of light bulbs and grease a lot of gears for that paycheck, Frankie, Gerard said. His hand slipped up Frank's arm, and Frank tried hard not to shiver when Gerard squeezed his shoulder. Got to be some love in that.
Not enough to give up my Saturday night.
Frank saw it was Gerard's turn to roll his eyes then.
Okay, I'll help you then, Gerard said, swinging away from Frank on some rigging and leaping up onto a barrel marked Rum. I'll work it with you.
What?
Frank stared.
It might be fun, shrugged Gerard. If we work it together.
He held out his arms wide and turned to look out across the lagoon to New Orleans.
Might be.
Frank clambered up on a barrel with a big skull and crossbones on it next to him.
Might be, he said, and nudged Gerard with his shoulder.
Laughter erupted from the hatch. It sounded like the hand had ended entertainingly.
Gerard turned to him. Hey, you want to take a walk to the island?
Gerard was already clambering down onto the jetty and heading for the cabin before Frank could say, sure. Frank caught up to him as he was making his way up the jungle path to the lookout,
Hey,
he called out to Gerard. Gerard stopped and turned to look at Frank as he spoke, holding out his hand to help pull him up the last big step. Frank landed on the little rocky outcropping in front of Gerard.
Hey,
he said again, and winced internally. Hey, said Gerard back, smiling slow and sweet.
I wanted to apologize for taking off the other day after the thing, stammered Frank.
He could feel his face heating up even as he said it.
Gerard raised an eyebrow.
The mansion?
Yeah, Frank said.
He shook himself a little.
It hurt, you know, when I was let down as a kid. And I kind of just... It was easier to stop believing.
He made a gesture with his hands.
But now, I want to believe that believing, or whatever, will pay off somehow.
Gerard was very still. That it won't always end with Uncle Sal's couch instead of the Halloween parade, he supplied.
Frank rubbed his hand around the back of his neck. Yeah, that's it exactly.
He took a deep breath.
And the park. I want to believe. In the park, Frank said.
He waited for Gerard to start laughing at him, even though he knew this was the one person who wouldn't ever. I know you do, Frankie. I don't really listen to you when you try to make out you don't care, you know.
Frank rolled his eyes. Okay. So, I'm a dork and maybe I get it now, but it's probably too late for me here anyway. Pete thinks...
Frank shrugs. He thinks you're too cynical, said Gerard quietly.
Frank nodded.
I get being cynical, but look. Gerard took Frank's hand and led him higher into the jungle of the island. It's like this place. You can create your own story here. You can be Huck Finn if you want. Change history, change your story. You just have to...
He waved his hand, reached out and pushed back the branches of the tree, and there, laid out below them, was the whole park, night lights glittering along the paths, the windows of the mansion glowing.
Gerard turned to Frank, his face so close. Look, I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes, it'll be Uncle Sal's couch, and sometimes... Gerard gestured to the view of the park. It will be magic. You just have to believe, Frankie, he said.
Frank turned and stumbled on their little ledge. Gerard caught him quickly by the elbows and pulled him close. Frank felt Gerard's chest pressed to his arms cupping his shoulders.
Gerard leaned in, and Frank tipped his head back, letting his eyes slip shut.
I'm locking the gates in 2 minutes, and everyone who's left in the park can spend the night.
Bob's voice crackled over Frank's walkie-talkie, still strapped to his waist with his tool belt. Shit, sighed Gerard, pressing his forehead to Frank's. I really fucking want to kiss you, he said, his voice low and rough. Frank looked up, his heart pounding, and then said,
Shit!
A second later, when he remembered that Bob was in no way joking, and that he'd once locked Deweze in overnight twice in a row. They clambered down the hill and across to the jetty in time to see Deweze and Bob leaving. Bob gave them one of his looks, but Frank was too fuzzy-headed to figure out which one it was. Frank and Gerard trailed out behind Bob and James until they got to the castle.
You lot, that way, said Bob, pointing towards the gates at the exit. I'm going to fetch Ray and help him lock up.
Who's Ray? Gerard said, frowning at Frank. What's he locking up?
Frank said.
No one,
Bob said, just as Deweze said, Nothing.
Gerard looked confused and was about to say something when Bob lifted his mighty paw and pointed at the gates in the distance.
That way,
Bob said again, before striding off into the night. A few minutes later, all the lights in the park went out and Deweze took off at a run towards the park gates, leaving Gerard and Frank standing in the middle of the dark park. Almost like magic, the fireflies lit up and started dancing around them under moss-draped weeping willows and magnolia trees on Main Street. Wow, he can sure move fast, Gerard said. Frank couldn't help noticing Gerard wasn't watching Deweze move at all. He was watching Frank.
He sure...
But Frank didn't finish the thought, because Gerard was kissing him, chaste and sweet. Frank pressed closer to him and felt Gerard's arms closing around him. He clutched at Gerard's shirt, twisting his fingers in the bunched-up fabric at his waist, and, God, Gerard's lips felt so soft and tasted so sweet. Gerard pulled back a little bit. Frankie, he whispered into Frank's mouth as their lips parted.
He giggled when Frank tried to follow the kiss, wanting more.
The gates. He took Frank's hand and started walking with him towards the exit. Frank kept sneaking glances at Gerard's face as they walked, Gerard sometimes catching him and holding his gaze. For the life of him, Frank could not fathom what had happened. Gerard had kissed him, had seen him, seen inside. Frank's heart, he felt, wasn't beating out of time for once. He felt, for the first time in years, that his heart was beating in perfect time, with the pace of their walk, the chirp of the crickets, and the gentle zing, zing, zing of the fireflies darting about above them.
Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there is imagination left in the world. Walt Disney.
Frank skipped into the workshop. Okay, so it was less a skip than a stagger, but it wasn't his usual, only moving by sheer force of will, Monday morning drudge walk either. No, Frank felt, well, he felt fucking great. Gerard had kissed him, had believed in him, had given him a little intimate smile and waved as he leaned out of Patrick's beat-up pumpkin orange Honda Civic peeling out of the parking lot, blaring Saves the Day from the stereo. My life is made of awesome, Frank thought, still feeling amazing. That was until he got the first call of the day. It was Ray freaking out.
Dude!
Frank's walkie-talkie crackled moments after he turned it on.
Dude, it's the kitchens. Something serious is going down.
Frank put his cup back on the counter and strapped on his tool belt. It was time to go to work. Besides being Bob's main squeeze, Ray was also the manager of Disney's ultra-secret High Rollers Club, 33, above the bustle of Royal Street. Okay, so the place wasn't all that secret. Still, Mr. and Mrs. Nylon Walk Shorts and their kids, Walt and Mart, would have no chance of getting in there, even if they had seen the doco on it on HBO. You couldn't find it on the map, even if you tried. Frank never complained about Club 33. Ray let him tinker with the antique espresso machine, and once in a while, Frank was allowed to come terrorize the prissy 33 staff with barista training. Also, it was the cleanest place in the park. Usually, anyway. Frank shuffled after Ray through the controlled chaos of the club's kitchens to the back wall and a pair of gleaming aluminum fridges.
"Stick your head behind here," said Ray, gesturing to the dark space behind the fridge.
Frank leaned forward, and a gust of hot air, redolent with eau de sewage, smacked Frank in the face.
"Yeah, so that's new," Ray shrugged.
"Dude, that is rank," winced Frank, pulling back. "Who the fuck puts a sewage pipe by a kitchen?"
"I know, right?" wailed Ray. "I guess it was here when they built the club and they just didn't bother to move it."
Frank started yanking the fridge further forward. "Good old L.A. There was an earthquake last night. You feel it?" asked Frank, getting in between the wall and the appliance and pushing back to move the thing some more.
"Really? No. What time was it?"
"Yeah, dude. A 5.1. I don't know, around midnight, maybe? You seriously didn't feel it? My fucking dogs were going nuts." He glanced at Ray when he didn't answer. Ray grinned and looked away. "What?"
"Well, Bob stayed over last night, so, like, we were kind of, busy around that time."
"Jesus fuck." Frank slumped against the wall as Ray started actually giggling. "Just get on the other end of this fucking thing, will you? It looks like there's a hole in the wall or something." Ray, still giggling, dragged the fridge out enough for Frank to lie down and get a good look at the hole.
"Yeah, plaster and bricks all crumbled."
He passed a big piece of red clay out to Ray as he continued prodding the wall. "The quake probably shook a couple of pipes loose, too. Maybe cracked them." He prodded the brickwork some more, and only just managed to get out of the way as half of it crashed down into a massive hole on the other side of the wall.
"What the fucking fuck?"
Ray grabbed him and pulled him back.
"Dude, what the hell did you do?"
The smell was now worse. Frank pushed a bunch of rubble out of the way and stuck his head into the hole. It was pitch dark in there. Light arced out into nothingness. There didn't seem to be anything under the hole. Whatever was in there was a really long way down. Frank was not expecting that at all. "It's a really long way down," he said, pulling himself out of the hole sharply and pressing back against the wall. That wasn't right.
They were already in the basement. There shouldn't be more basement or what the fuck ever under them.
Ray raised his eyebrows and leaned into the hole.
Holy shit, it totally is!
He crowed, leaning back out and grinning at Frank.
Weird. How far down do you think it goes? Looks like...
7, 8 floors. Maybe more, groaned Frank.
How the hell did he not know about this? He thought of Gerard suddenly, stupidly. The kid was gonna shit when he heard about this.
I think it goes down to the underground mechanical stuff for the mansion, Frank said, trying to rationalize the drop.
The mansion tunnel did cut under Royal Street.
Surely, surely this was something to do with it? It was the biggest ride in the park, after all. The mansion itself was just in the next block.
Frank ducked his head back in and out again quickly to check on the drop.
Yep, pretty sure.
Dude, are you okay?
Asked Ray as he leaned into the hole again.
Yep.
You're kind of green.
Smells, mumbled Frank,
trying to surreptitiously mop up the sweat beating on his upper lip. He didn't say,
pitch dark, long drops, unholy terror,
but he was most certainly thinking it. Frank, who really did some of the worst jobs in the worst places at the park, really only had one problem. Ray chewed his lip.
Frank,
he said, laying a hand on Frank's arm.
I know how you feel about heights, but dude...
He sniffed and gagged a little.
You're gonna have to go... like, down there.
One problem only.
Frank nodded.
Ray nodded back. Heights. Fuck my motherfucking life, Frank thought.
An hour later, and Frank was strapped into a window cleaning harness and swung into the abyss. He lurched out into the darkness and thunked pretty quickly against the slimy inner wall of the hole. His hands-free earpiece crackled.
You okay?
A burst of feedback screamed in his ear.
Dude, I'm right here,
he said quietly to Ray, standing just outside the hole next to him. Ray had the grace to look sheepish as he switched off the walkie-talkie. Frank shook his head.
Just don't forget to turn the fucking thing back on when I'm out of sight.
Got it, said Ray with a salute. Keep your elbows and feet in the ride at all times.
Ray pressed the button, and Frank began to descend. It wasn't until the light from the kitchens was a dim square above him that Frank began to think perhaps he wasn't getting paid enough to do this kind of shit. Frank hollered back up to the light to tell Ray to stop lowering, and his walkie-talkie earpiece crackled back to life. He took a deep breath while pinching his nose. It stank like 10 things died down there, and he could see why. The soil pipes were cracked at a junction a couple of feet down. They looked like they were 40 years old at least. It was as if no one had been down there since the park was built. Considering Frank had had no clue this place even existed, then probably no one had.
So, I hear this tink you're after looks like a taller, macho Christina Ricci. True or false?
Frank sputtered and accidentally breathed through his nose as the winch started up again.
Stop! He bellowed.
Oops, sorry, I leaned on the button,
muttered Ray.
Come on, tell me. You know I never get to meet the new people.
Motherfucker.
Now,
crackled Ray, with absolutely zero concern in his voice. The winch stopped, and Frank swung wildly around the narrow space for a minute, before bracing his knee against one wall, and his back against the other damper, slimier one. The pipes were right in front of his face, cracked and oozing God only knew what. He scrabbled for the walkie-talkie clip to his belt.
Firstly, about 7,003 people started this summer, so I got no clue who you're talking about.
Besides, Gerard's forehead wasn't near as big as Christina Ricci's. Frank pushed himself away from the oozing pipes, looking for the sump valve. He couldn't tell if his stomach flipping was due to talking about Gerard or the smell coming from the pipes.
Secondly, I am hanging 60 feet up on what amounts to a couple bits of dental floss. And lastly, I am hanging 60 feet up by frickin' dental floss. I'm kinda busy right now.
The high-tension wires connecting him to the relative safety of the basement floor beams made a gut-churningly loud pinging noise. Frank swallowed.
Well, okay,
huffed Ray.
It's just that Bob said he'd seemed like your type is all.
Really?
If Frank hadn't been hanging from dental floss above certain doom, he would have punched himself in the face. Ray laughed.
Yeah, he said you've always had a weird thing for tinks.
Frank took a deep breath through his mouth, counted to 10, and plucked the earpiece out. he switched off the walkie-talkie and set to work turning off the valve. Without much warning, half of the wall surrounding the pipes crumbled as he touched them. The light from his flashlight shot across the opening and washed out into the darkness. "Holy shit," muttered Frank. The space was massive. He scrambled to get his earpiece back in and switched the walkie-talkie back on.
"It's like motherfucking Goonies down here or some shit," he hollered.
"Frank?"
crackled Ray.
"What's going on?"
A gust of warm air billowed into his face, followed a few seconds later by another gust, then another. Like something huge and silent, breathing in the darkness. A click echoed deep below the opening, the faint whisper of metal grinding on metal. Ice clenched a path up Frank's spine.
What the fucking fuck?
The flashlight beam glanced off something white and huge. Teeth. Massive and gleaming, below the unholy horror of an eye, yellow with blindness. Frank lurched back again, and the flashlight beam fell on something wide and smooth and glossy. A mirror in the gloom. Light suddenly filled the gaping void, and Frank was staring into the gaping, fang-filled maw of... Goofy. It was Goofy, all right. Only he was 20 feet tall and dressed as some kind of pirate. A gigantic, evil, animatronic pirate Goofy. There were other abandoned animatronics in there with Goofy. Possibly hundreds. Some were characters Frank knew well. Goofy, Mickey, Donald. Others were bizarrely animatronic chimeras, Minnie Mouse through a dark glass, Cinderella the insane go-go dancer. Many of the models looked haphazardly thrown together, patched up with number 8 wire and duct tape. Most were just parts, gruesome robot bits, like some kind of futuristic Bruegel painting. Frank bellowed into the walkie-talkie.
"It's the Imagineer's graveyard!"
You found a graveyard? The fuck?"
Ray's tinny-sounding voice hollered back. Frank whooped. He didn't know why he was so excited. But he knew Gerard was going to shit when he heard about this. Frank couldn't wait to tell him.
"Frank! Oh my god! Oh my god! Frank!"
Ray wailed.
"It's killing him! The underground thing is killing... Frank, you okay?"
The winch started suddenly hauling Frank out of the gap in the wall. He yelled for Ray to stop, and after some promises that everything was fine, Frank finished the job he went down there to do. Half an hour later, Frank had Ray under control. The sump valve shut off, and about a gallon of shit all over him. But he really didn't care. Okay, he cared about being covered in shit. He cared a lot. He was pretty elated by his find, though. The mythical Imagineer's graveyard. The resting place of all those insane cotton candy and old-fashioned Coke-fueled fantasies. Hell, if Gerard was right about that place, then... who knew what else he was right about?
"Frank, can you smell that?"
Bob asked as he sat down in the canteen.
"Man, did you fart or something?"
asked Bob. Frank was seconds from just going somewhere quiet to set himself on fire. The elation of finding... he didn't even know what he'd found, something amazing, was already wearing off due to the fact that the discovery came covered in raw sewage. He'd already showered and burned his uniform. This was the kind of dirty where the water never cleaned off the clothes. Now, obviously, the flesh would have to go. He was pretty sure he could never be clean again. Frank slumped at the table of the canteen and cast a jaundiced eye at Bob. "Fuck you," he said, but it was kind of half-hearted. Bob stared at Frank. Frank stared back with no clue what this particular version of Bob's patented glare was all about, until Bob pushed a chair out for Gerard and asked him to join them. Frank's stomach plummeted. He hadn't known Gerard was there with Patrick. All he could smell was sewage. On himself. Fucking gross.
"Bob," said Bob, holding out his hand in a mock introduction, "and this surly asshole is Frank."
He gave Frank a knowing look, which Frank, who stank of sewage for the love of God, ignored in favor of scowling at his lunch. "Hi, Frankie," said Gerard, smiling shyly.
"Oh yeah, I forgot you guys know each other pretty well, right?"
Bob said, eyes twinkling.
"Yeah, well, no, see,"
stammered Frank. He really did not need these guys to know he'd been smooching in the park with Gerard. He'd never hear the end of it. Besides, he kind of needed to get his head round it first. "Frank saved my ass on the first day," said Gerard, cutting in and grinning. "I never would have made it to orientation without him. He was totally awesome."
"Frank who?"
said Patrick, pointing at Frank. Not Frank, this Frank. Frank Hierro?
Frank scowled at Patrick, who only snickered.
Seriously, though, dude, said Patrick to Gerard, you should make a t-shirt or something. The day Frank Hierro was awesome. People would want to commemorate that.
With a confused laugh, Gerard said, I don't get it.
But Patrick had already turned to Frank. What's up, Frank? You look like you've been boiled or something.
Frank glanced sideways at Gerard, who was still frowning, but also dipping his fries in brown barbecue sauce.
You won't believe what I found today,
Frank said, before launching into the story of his discovery in as much detail as he could muster. Every word he said seemed to make Gerard's eyes get larger than Frank had heretofore imagined the human eye could get.
And it was a 50-foot goofy, right, with motherfucking fangs and shit, all propped up against the wall, like the Egyptian jackal things in Indiana Jones, you know? Only his animatronic jaw was hanging open and all these wires were hanging out, like guts and shit. It was awesome.
Frank stopped and took a slurp from his Coke can.
So I... Hold on, said Bob, cutting him off. So what you are trying to tell us is... What?
Said Bob, taking a bite of his burger.
It's the Imagineer's graveyard, Gerard said quietly. Frank found it.
Frank looked around the table, grinning and nodding, waiting for the cheers. It took a second, but when the table erupted into laughter, it was pretty loud.
You found the what?
Asked Bob, spraying half the table in his effort to both speak and laugh uproariously at the same time.
The Imagineer's... What the fuck is so funny?
You are, my tiny friend, said Brendan, patting Frank on the back. That's the best one yet, dude. But not even Gerard is gonna fall for that crock.
It's not a... Fucking hey, man, I'm telling you. Ask Ray.
Oh,
said Bob, wiping a tear from his eye.
Oh, I did. He said you had him swing you down some hole, and you clambered around down there for a bit, and came back up, all excited, because you were covered in shit or something. He had to disinfect the entire basement.
The basement of what? Why would you disinfect a basement? Asked Gerard, frowning now and not making eye contact with Frank.
No reason, said everyone.
That kind of killed the laughter.
Dude, everyone knows the whole graveyard story is some bullshit they wind the new guys up with. No offense, Gerard.
Said Gerard, still not looking at Frank.
Yeah, I know. But if Frank says...
Look, countered Frank. I know they make shit up, but it's down there. I saw it.
Dude, said Brendan. And there was what? Like, a two-headed mini?
No, said Frank, petulantly pushing his plate of fries away. She had a horse's body, actually, he muttered.
The table erupted again. As Frank sat scowling, he felt Gerard staring at him. He raised his face and glared back at them, the fucking doubters.
I'm not fucking with you. I saw what I saw, he said quietly.
The other guys had moved on to trading descriptions of sickest fantasy animatronics mashups. Bob was describing one of Peter Pan's mermaids with Cruella de Vil's head. Gerard leaned forward and touched Frank's knee under the table. He nodded and half-smiled. Frank thought of how Gerard's breath had felt against his lips. Frank looked up at him. Gerard wasn't mocking him. Frank didn't know how he could tell so clearly, but he wasn't. But he didn't believe Frank, either.
It doesn't matter if it's real or not, right? Gerard said.
He smiled and turned back to his fries.
The park is what you make it. I believe you.
No, that's not... This is different. You were right. This is...
But Patrick was nudging Gerard out of the way to get Frank's attention.
Hey, Frank. Frankie.
Patrick wheezed with laughter as he leaned across Gerard towards him.
So, did you see Amelia Earhart's plane while you were down there?
Hardy, har, har,
said Frank, pushing away from the table, getting as much space between his potty stink and Gerard as he could. He'd wanted to stay, wanted to tell Gerard about the disused parts, because, hey, what do you know, the crazy bastard was right. There really is hidden shit under the park. But no. He stank of sewage, and his friends were all total assholes, and now even Gerard didn't believe him.
Anyway, I'm out. See you fuckers later. Bye, Gerard.
Frank waved lamely, stumbled up from the table, half kicking over his chair and narrowly missing knocking a Goofy's lunch tray right out of his hands. Frank made it out of the canteen in one piece,
but not before he heard Bob, Patrick, Gerard, and the Goofy erupt into laughter as he was halfway out the door.
Well, that went swimmingly, Frank thought, as he walked out into the midday sun. What was the point in trying to be less cynical if all everyone ever thought you were was a cynical, nasty little asshole anyway?